And Jesus does care. You can cast all your cares on Him. He cares about you. And some of you in here today for the first time, some of you have been several times. I apologize if I don't remember your name, but I'm going to be honest with you. He knows your name. More than that, He knows all about you. Knows your every need, knows your every care, knows your every burden, knows your every need. Knows everything about you. And He loves you. And He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be in heaven. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Boy, it's a joy to see you here this morning. And we still have some folk that have sickness around, and some have had surgeries. But I'm glad that you're here this morning. It's a joy to have, again, all of our visitors and guests and all our friends who join us on the internet and the radio ministry. We're glad you're a part of the services here at Benson Grove as well. I want to read you just two or three verses here in Matthew chapter 16 to begin with this morning. And then we'll pray and I'll share with you something from the Word of God that God laid on my heart. Matthew chapter number 16, the Pharisees with the Sadducees came and tempted, desiring Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. Now, they're not so interested in a sign for confirmation, but just out of curiosity. They're just interested in the novelty of Christ, possibility of seeing a miracle, some other sign. They're really not interested in any kind of confirmation sign that would tell them for sure that He's Jesus or the Messiah. But they have an ulterior motive. Most of the time, they're trying to entrap Him to find something against Him. But in this occasion, they are seeking a sign, the Bible says. And notice in verse number 2, and He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red. And lowing, O ye hypocrites, can you discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto you, unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. He's making reference here, of course, to His own death, burial, and resurrection, much like Jonah, who was in the whale and then came out of the whale, that sign of the resurrection. And so the proof of His deity, a validation of His deity, would be the resurrection from the dead. He'd bear all the sins of every man, woman, boy, and girl and die on the cross. It is essential that He rose. He's not on a cross. I love the symbol of the cross, but not the crucifixion, not the crucifix, because it keeps Him on the cross. But Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And thank God for that truth of the gospel. He paid our sin debt, and the fact that God the Father accepted that payment and gave His Son resurrection is a picture of the completed and fulfilled prophecies, also of the fact that He has purchased for all time redemption from those who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would speak to my heart, not by might nor by power, but by Thy Spirit, saith the Lord. God, nothing here take place that will make a difference in time or eternity unless the Holy Ghost of God takes over. I pray, God, You'd speak through me now. God, speak to these people. Father, I've looked across this congregation, and now, Father, I know You love them. You gave Your Son for them. And now, Father, it's Your desire that they would know, Lord, salvation full and free, that they be born again by the grace of God and know heaven's their home. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, that You deal this morning with them through Your Holy Spirit, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Draw them by Your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. God, help me to be out of the way and the Spirit of God to speak. And God, I'll thank You and give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that little statement there. On Thursday, we went down to see the grandbabies and spent a little time with them. And on the way home, the sky coming back from the east, heading west, was a brilliant red. As a matter of fact, through the tree line, it was absolutely beautiful, but we couldn't quite see it. We could see it up high, so we never got a real view of the sunset fully, but it was so brilliant red. And while we were riding along, I said, you know, there's an old saying about that, and it has to do with sailors, and we, you know, I couldn't get in my mind what it was, and Clara took the phone and she Googled, and it came back and it said shepherds. But basically, over the last few days, I think I figured out the one that I've always heard about here. The Lord is telling them about it's not an old wise saying. There's scientific data to back up this evidence and that it is true. But I believe the one that I remember was in regard to sailors. And it said, red sails in the evening, the weather will be fair. Red sails in the morning, sailors beware. In other words, if it's the sunset is beautiful red, the next day is going to be a beautiful day. But if you get up, the sky's red and lowing, as it said here, ominous, then it's going to be a bad day. You're going to have a bad day. And so these Pharisees and scribes are wanting a sign. And the Lord said, now you've observed nature, quote unquote, and you've learned to discern the times. You'd be able to look around you and see what's going on and know that what the climate's going to be like. But he said, you can't discern the signs of the times that we're living in. Jesus lived and walked among them. He did miracles, opened blind eyes, healed lame limbs, and resurrected Lazarus, and all those things. And God was working in him. He said that he's seen me, seen the Father. But they wouldn't accept that. My dear friend, here is he's challenging them about the signs of the time. When you think about the Word of God and what it means, you're living in right now, 2022, prophetic times. These are prophetic days. You're living the book of Revelation. You're living many of the Old Testament prophecies. You're right here, right now, in your lifetime, many of you, Israel once again is a nation. Once again, the Star of David flies over Jerusalem. You've seen a nation that was dispersed on the whole face of the earth, that went through the Holocaust and the devil did everything he could to annihilate them. And yet they remained a people, they retained their identity, and they're back in their land and they're flourishing. And that's all part of Bible prophecy. You're living in Bible prophecy. Matter of fact, in the sequence of time and things that are happening, how God's laying out the picture, we're right down almost to the 11th hour, maybe almost the 12th hour already. And the only event now, the next major event on, I believe, the prophetical calendar is the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That is their bodies. The resurrection of the believers' bodies, wherever they are, resurrected. And the Bible said to meet their loved ones in the clouds, and then to meet the Lord in the air. And that's the rapture when he comes to take out his church. Now, why does he do that? It's much like if we were to declare war on another nation, the first act that we would do would be to draw our ambassadors and our political people who were there to get them out of that country before we declare war. And he's going to declare war on this earth. It's called the tribulation period, 7-year time period. But the next event is for him to come. And who does he take? He comes back for his bride. He comes back for those who are saved. Only the saved will go in the rapture of the church, and we'll be caught up together to meet our loved ones in the clouds and then to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You're living in prophetical times. The rise of Antichrist, the one world government, one world currency, one world religion. I mean, it's right here now. It's all around you. The spirit of Antichrist is working in our nation. And God is sending sign after sign after sign. In drought, we have a reoccurrence of polio, monkeypox, all those other things. In the last days, these various plagues are coming on the face of the earth. Isn't it amazing? This week I went up into Benson, and when I left out of town, I went by Dr. Vias's place there. The parking lot was slammed full in front. It was about a 2-acre place behind there. It was cars all the way back to the woods. I got to the hospital in Smithfield to run in and try to check on Miss Peggy and see her for just a few minutes and to be and be with them and with Floyd. And I had to park out at the street. There's no parking places anywhere at the Smithfield Hospital. And I thought, my, with all the scientific advancement and all the technology we've got and trying to help people to get well, and I believe people are sicker now than they've ever been. And 99 times out of 100, it seems like almost the doctors run test after test after test and never do conclude what's going on with people. Why is that? I believe we're under the curse of God. I believe already we'll see the signs of the time. You know what Jesus, how he described it? These are the beginning of sorrows. And so for those of you who think we're going through tough times right now, you mark it down. You ain't seen nothing yet. This is the beginning of sorrow. You're living in perilous times, the Bible said, very dangerous times. Life is very cheap in America now. Our law enforcement have been so devalued by the political powers that be that the criminal element of our nation have absolutely zero respect for our law officials anymore. There was a time that they at least had some respect and some fear of them, but now knowing that the general climate in political world is to demean law enforcement, discredit them, and to agree with the criminal element that they are more criminal than the criminals. The Bible said in these last days that they would call evil good and good evil. You're living in perilous times. If you're a Christian right now, you're treading on thin ice. Your nation is not a friend of grace. Our government's not a friend of grace. And the Bible said in these days are perilous times. But I do believe this with all my heart too. We're living not only in prophetical times and perilous times, but they are productive times. People are trying to find anything they can to get peace and joy and happiness. And you know, they'll never find it in drugs. They won't ever find it in sex. They won't ever find it in success. They've tried everything there is to try. And some of those people will come to the realization one time that there's no hope outside of Christ. And you have the message, and I have the message, that a man, a woman, boy, girl, teenager, adult, senior citizen can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, all their sins forgiven, and he'll give them a peace of God that passeth all understanding and a joy unspeakable and full of glory in this wicked hour you're living in. And it still works. God's still saving people. We had a lady stand right down here last Sunday, a truck driving lady from St. Petersburg, Florida, that's been picking up the Highway Shepherd CDs, and she was on a walker. She's got to have surgery because her truck driving career is going to be put on hold for a while. But she had a joy in her heart because some years ago, traveling the highway, she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved her, and she's got a joy and a peace of God that passes all understanding in spite of all that's going on in this nation. We're in a productive time. That you've got a message of hope that nobody else has. You can share the gospel, and we have a message that can change lives. Can God deliver addicts? Yes. Can he save the reprobate? Yes. Can he make a difference in homes and families and put families back together? Yes. He's still God. He's still able to save. He's still able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. And if you'll come to him today, if you'll believe on him today, he'll save you, make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. These are productive days. The gospel still works. We can still reach souls for Christ. But also then, may I say this to you, these days and these times are precious times. Why is that? Because it's brief. I believe we've got a little window right here now. I believe these are the last days. I believe we're getting down to the last time. And these days are precious days. I think about it from time to time. I'm not sure how long I'll live, not sure how long anybody will live. But if you've got 100 days left to live, how would you like to spend this day? You get to thinking about things. I only got a few days left, or months left, or years left for any of us. But how are we going to spend that time? How are we going to spend that day? We ought to count every day a blessing. This is the day the Lord's made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And we ought to just live the life every day God gives us to live, and enjoy every day, enjoy your family. But now let me just briefly give you this. I'm going to give you three little things this morning about what time is it personally. He's not speaking to these people here in general terms. This is a pointed message to them, and he goes on and rebukes them. What is the personal message about the times that you're living in? In the first place, I turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, and if you have your Bible, if you'd like to turn, look in 2 Corinthians, and let me share with you just this brief statement here. In the book of 2 Corinthians, and in chapter number 6, I have this one little wonderful statement to read. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 2, listen to what it said. For he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. For those of you in this building, the sound of my voice in the media audience, have you ever thought about dying? You ever thought about whether you're going to go to heaven or hell? The time to make that decision is now, right now, today. What time is it? It is time to be saved, right now. Right now, you can be saved today. Matter of fact, I've been studying this Bible a long time and preaching a long time, and I find nowhere in the Bible where it says anybody can be saved tomorrow. Only today. Only today could I say to you on any kind of authority of the Word of God, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, right now. Right now. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Nobody knows how long you're going to live, I'm going to live, anybody else is going to live. But I'm going to tell you right now, as long as you're living and breathing, you have a chance to get saved. I'm going to be preaching up in Emporia on Tuesday night, one night, in a one-night meeting. Got other people preaching other nights. But tonight or tomorrow night, there's a young man preaching, my nephew, who had gotten saved, but he had a battle for a long time with drugs, and he eventually died. But at any rate, one of his buddies, I mean a rough as a cob, drug addict and everything else, got saved. And he's now pastoring a little church outside of Emporia, Virginia, the Grace Community Church, I believe it's called. But at any rate, he's going to be preaching there tomorrow night. And my nephew that goes to that church now said, boy, he was rough. I mean, he was wicked. And he said people had been praying for him and witnessing to him, and said he wouldn't have anything to do with it. His wife had gotten saved. She was going to church. He was giving her a hard time, just give her a fit about her going to church. And he was driving down the road, and he looked up and saw some clouds. And he said he remembered somehow or another, a preacher or somebody had said, Jesus is coming in clouds. And said all of a sudden, he said a horrible fear came over him that when he got home, his wife wasn't going to be there. His little girl wasn't going to be there. They were going to be gone. If Jesus came in that cloud, that he could die at any moment. And he didn't wait to get to a church. He didn't wait to find a preacher. Right then and there, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved him. No preacher around, nobody else around. But now, right then, and right now is the time you can get saved. Right now in this service, right now you can trust Christ. You can be born again, have a brand new start right now. Right now. Why is it so important to do it now? In the first place, I'd say to you this morning, because of the readiness of salvation. Jesus gave the parable about the marriage supper, about a feast, and he said, send out and give this message. All things are now ready. Can I tell you, there's not one thing got to be done for you to be saved. He's already done it on the cross. He already bore your sins in his own body. He knew every sin you ever committed. First Peter said he bore your sins in his own body, and he paid the sin debt for your sin debt. And he suffered and bled and died for you. And he's paid that sin debt. It's ready. It's freely. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. And he gave his life. Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure a good man, some would even dare to. But God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's already died for you. He's already paid that sin debt. And you say, Brother Billy, if that's so, how come I'm not saved? Because the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now's the time for you to accept Him, believe on Him, to accept what He's done for you. Because of the readiness of salvation, it's available. It's right there. I mean, it's within your grasp. It's within your heart's reach right now to become a brand new creature in Christ. See, you don't have to do one thing other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now and accept Him as your Savior. Call on Him. I believe a believing heart is a calling heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you believe on the Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Call on Him right now. Not only because of the readiness of that, because of the tendency of our heart to get harder. Some of you, God's been dealing with you, and you know you need to be saved through the night, in the mornings, riding along. The question's always in your mind, am I saved? Am I going to go to heaven? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You'll keep putting Him off and putting Him off and putting Him off, and your heart will get harder and harder and harder. That voice will get softer and softer and softer. And what a horrible, horrible thing to come to the place where you have no desire, none, to be saved. You lose it all. You think, boy, what a relief. No, because the next moment you may be in hell pleading for one drop of water for the rest of your life. And I'm going to tell you, there'll never be a time when your heart will be more prepared, more tender to trust Christ than right now. But if you leave here this morning and reject Him one more time, your heart maybe get harder and harder to where you will never call on Him. But then not only because of that, but also because of the shortness of time. James said, your life is a vapor. It appeared for a little while and it vanishes away. You don't have very long to do what you're going to do. I can tell you exactly how far it is to heaven. I Google sometime and always put distance from Mariana, Florida to Somerville, Georgia, or something like that if I'm traveling. If you Google this, how far from where you are to heaven, I can tell you how far it is. One step. The Bible said there's but one step between thee and death. One heartbeat. That's how far. That's how far you are right now. The shortness of time and the nearness of heaven or hell implores you to trust Him now. Be saved today. I beg you in Jesus' name to be saved. But also because not only of the shortness of your lifespan, but the shortness of time altogether. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, and it said, for the time is at hand. That's a statement in chapter 1 of Revelation. That's in the end time. In other words, this is it. It's over with. Matter of fact, when you go on over to chapter 10, verse 6 of Revelation, it says, and there shall be time no longer. Time will run out. Time of grace will run out. The day of grace will run out. And this thing's coming to an end. And if Jesus comes and you're lost, you'll stay lost forever. There's a verse in the Old Testament that said, multitudes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Near. Almost saved, almost believing, almost trusting Christ will put you in hell for the rest of your eternity. Almost. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What do you need to do? Right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, turn to Him in faith. Believe on the Lord. I got two other points and it's 12 o'clock. But let me just say this to you. It is time to awake. In the book of Ephesians, it said to those who are saved, it's high time to awake. In Romans chapter 13, in verse number 11, it says it's time for us to awake. Let me tell you what that says to me. Number one, Christians have a tendency to sleep. I was joking a while ago about Kylie Rae going to sleep. But that's not a joking matter in regard to those of you and I who are Christians. Satan would lull us to sleep. What happens when you go to sleep? Ask Samson. When you go to sleep, you lose your power. When you go to sleep, you lose your vision. You can't see. You'll lose your discernment. Brother Barry, this morning did the best exposition of the story about Balaam in Numbers 22 I've ever heard. That donkey, that ass could see what that prophet couldn't see. And when you go to sleep on God, you lose your vision, you lose your power, you lose your sense of who you are. And so many Christians in the hour we're living in have been lulled to sleep. And he said, it's high time for us to wake up. He goes on in that passage of scripture and tells us to walk circumspectly, means to get cleaned up. You're to wake up, you're to clean up, and then you're to show up. You're to serve God. Man, listen, there's never been a better time for you to live for God. But if your life doesn't measure up to what you say, you might as well keep your mouth shut. You live a life in front of them. You live a life of victory. Live a life of holiness in front of people. Don't let them hear you using profanity or all color jokes or anything like that. Don't you do that. You live for God. Don't tell them to go to church and you don't come half the time yourself. Don't say, I'm praying for so-and-so, but you don't really pray. I'm talking about being real. I'm talking about it's high time for us to wake, but it's high time for harvest. He said, don't say there yet 3 months and then cometh the harvest. It's time to harvest now. Why? Because of the price that's been paid. I look at these fields around in this tobacco and this cotton, soybeans and sweet potatoes. Man, listen, there's millions of dollars laying in the fields around here that they've already invested, time, effort, diesel fuel, seed and everything else. It's all dependent, all for the harvesting of a sweet potato, all for soybean, all for cotton, all for tobacco. It's the harvest that counts. The price has already been paid. The money's there. If it don't come through, they're in trouble. But Christ has already paid the price. You think about what he paid for lost sinners. And you and I take the ministry of reaching souls for Christ, for whom he loved and died so lightly, and we don't do it like we ought to. It's high time for us to wake, but it's high time for us to get involved in the harvest because of the price that was paid and the perishable nature of the harvest. They're dying all around us. We were coming back from Wilmington the other night on 40 between here and there. We saw lights and everything, and when we got there, there was what you could see it in the silhouette of a blaze of fire, a Jeep. It was completely gutted, still burning. Car, we couldn't tell how many cars were involved in that, but Melissa and Claire in the back, and I could hear them, and I was trying to drive and watch the traffic and everything, but I could hear them saying, I hope they got out. I hope they got out. I hope they got out. Around you are men and women, boys and girls who will be in hell for all eternity. And they could be gone just like that and burning in a fire that they can't get out of. Nobody could ever rescue them. Because of the perishable nature of the harvest, you and I need to wake up and we need to be involved in harvest. Because, my dear friend, right now, the Bible said we ought to redeem the time. But then because of our planned departure, we need to be involved in ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He already had it, had the ticket punched, had the date on it, knew when it was going to be. He didn't know, but God did. God knows when you're leaving out of here. And I promise you, you've got an appointed date with death. You're leaving out of here at some point in time. Nobody knows when that is. But I want to do everything I can as long as I can to get men and women, boys and girls to come to Christ. And we all ought to be that way. We all need to do that, to be involved in the harvest. What time is it? It's time for you to get saved. It's time for us to wake. It's time for us to get involved in the harvest right now. And when are you going to start? What are you going to do? Sign up for Awanas? Sign up for the Judgment House Ministry? Get involved? Get out here? Invite somebody. I was talking to a dear lady this week. The Lord's put on her heart to be a member of our church. And I said, how did you happen to come? And she said she ran into one of our members on two different occasions. Yes, God put them in their path and said something to her about it. And she'd been looking around, and so she said, I'll try it. She came and then met them again. I asked her, well, who was it? She said, I can't remember. But she's been coming. She's been faithful. And believe God's going to put her here. Why? Because one of you somewhere spoke to her. You don't have to do a lot. Just be available for God to use you in these last days. Reach folks for Christ. Get involved in the harvest. You'll be glad you did at the judgment seat. Just be faithful. I want you to bow your heads in prayer. With every head, every bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. if you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? These things are written to you, so you might know that you have eternal life. Do you know you'd go to heaven? I've been where you are. Many of these people have been where you are, wrestling back and forth, sometimes fearful of hell, sometimes desirous of heaven, sometimes wondering if it's real, but it's still there, that need. I need something. I know I can't live it on my own. I can't do it. Nobody else can. But the matter thing is this, first of all, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll believe on Him, He'll save you. Believe that He's died, He buried, He bore your sin, He paid your sin debt. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can be saved today. Can I say to you, you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose? Believe on Him right where you're sitting. Trust Him right now. But I'd love for you to come forward in a few minutes. If we can help you or pray with you, we'd do that. We'd love to rejoice with you if you'll believe on Him and trust Him today. We'll encourage you and pray for you. Maybe you've been praying about, God's been wanting you to do something, been dealing with you. Maybe you kind of, what we've talked about just briefly, kind of lulled to sleep. You got so busy with work and so busy with other things, you've not been as faithful to church you ought to be. You're not a witness for Christ. You're not spending time in the Word of God. You're not having fellowship with Him. You don't have a joyous spirit about you. You don't have a peace about you. You don't have a witness. It's hard for you to ever say anything about Christ. Maybe it's high time to awake and walk circumspectly and redeem the time and be not filled with wine, where does excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and be a witness for Christ. And then get involved in the harvest. And these last days, make your days count trying to win your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, your classmates to Christ. Ask God to use you to be a witness for Jesus and win people in these days. I don't know what God wants you to do, but let's stand together with our heads bowed. And I want to pray. But while you're standing now, if you're here this morning, you say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I do not know I'd go to heaven. You may be a visitor, a guest, and let me assure you, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't try to hem you up after the service. But I do want to pray for you right now. And if you're in here this morning, you say, Preacher, if I died now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but would you please just pray for me? I don't need to know your name, but I would love to pray for you. No one's looking. Would you raise your hand right up and right back down? You'd be honest and thank you so much. So much. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to pray with you and pray for you. I want you to know. Can I tell you, He's no respecter of persons. He loves you. He loves you. He gave His Son to die for you. He wants you to be in heaven. The only thing that would keep you from going is you not accepting Him, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Believe on Him. Call on Him right there where you are. But I'd love for you to come forward in a moment. Let us know you did that. We can rejoice with you and pray for you. You're here this morning, you say, Brother Bill, I'm a Christian. But it's almost like I've been lulled to sleep. I've been kind of sleepwalking. I've not been active, zealous, not been involved in ministry, not been excited about being in church. But I want to be. I want to wake up. I want to get revived in my heart. And this morning, Preacher, will you pray for me? I'm saved, but I need a special touch and filling of the Holy Ghost. Would you raise your hand across the building this morning? I'm in that state. God bless you, my friends. God bless you. Now I'm going to do something else right here just before I pray. In Isaiah, the Lord said, Who shall we send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. If you're willing to get involved in the harvest and do what God wants you to do, I don't know what it is, every day of your life to give out a tract, to witness, to pray for people, to live a life of example, maybe involved in some type of ministry here, maybe to become a prayer warrior, maybe to be involved in the Awanas or, or the other ministries, and Hilton needs help, and the drama ministry, and the Judgment House upcoming, other. We got revival coming up with Brother Bill in just a few days, starting on the 31st. And Brother Randy will be here near the end of September. I'm looking for these next few weeks to be harvest weeks. And you say, preacher, I want to be in the harvest. I want to be a part. I'm going to say to the Lord, not to the preacher, but I'm going to say to the Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, I want to do anything I can do in these last days to be used of Christ, that somebody might come to know Christ. I want to be awake. I want to be used in the harvest. And just like Isaiah, here am I, send me. If you'll make that commitment to the Lord, nobody's looking, but you just raise your hand to the Lord right now. I'm not even looking myself. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I pray, God, the Holy Ghost. Number one, our Father, for these friends who are raising their hands now. God, we want to be used. We know, our Father, it's not us. It's not what we can do or what we can't do, but it's the Holy Spirit. And God, you're just looking for people to be available that you would qualify and use in some way for your glory. God, I want to be used. I want to be involved in the harvest. I want to be a blessing to people in these last days. And now, God, our friends do. God, please use us. Help us to see people come to know Christ. Give us a fresh burden to pray and new zeal to witness and get people. Bring them to the house of God. Then, God, I pray, God, for our friends. Lord, we've been there where everything just seemed to be slow motion and we lulled asleep and not on fire, Isaiah, like we ought to be. God, set them on fire. Pray, God, you'd give them a new zeal, a new joy to love and serve you and fill them with the Holy Ghost. God, but most of all this morning, for those precious ones who raised their hand, not sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. Oh, God, I pray that before they leave here right now, God, they'd be saved. God, not moved just emotionally or any other way, but by the Holy Ghost of God, God, I pray you'd bring genuine conviction. And God, I pray by faith they turn and believe on you this morning. God, forgive them. God, have mercy. And I pray, Father, there would be the Holy Spirit of God who'd enter their heart and life, crying, Abba, Father, and they know that something had happened. Make a change. And God will thank you.